All right, welcome to the Carpe and Zen Show. Before we get started, Joseph and I had a really good time talking. We talked for about an hour, and then the recorder filled up. So if you make it all the way to the end of the episode, we get cut off a little bit. But thanks for listening, and here's our episode talking about editing gear and all that fun stuff. Thanks for listening. All right, you amped up now?
I'm so amped up
now. Are you ready for this?
Now that I know all about Prop 208, I think that's what we're going to talk about.
Man, no, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Well, see, I'm trying to figure out topics for my own podcast, and that's kind of relevant right now.
Well, do you need me to be on your podcast?
I would like that.
Okay, I'll come be on your podcast.
Okay. Whoa, that was I can hear myself.
Sorry, let's go with me. I'm trying to turn me up. There we go. All right, now I'm a little bit better.
Okay.
You want to go ahead and talk?
Talk. Is that good?
Yeah, that's good.
Is that better?
Okay.
Okay. I'll tell you how I edit this. I level them separately, so I don't know. But it seems to be okay, though.
It's two different tracks. Yeah, I've been listening to them. They're good.
Yeah, that's a simple mix. Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm all fired up now about Prop 208. Welcome to the Carpe and Zen Podcast. I'm Joseph Carpenter.
And I'm Jacob Laritzen.
And together we are Carpe.
And Zen.
Thanks for being here, guys. We love our listeners.
Okay, I'm going to do this live right now.
What are we?
I'm going to look up how many people listened to the last episode.
It was me. That's who it was.
Well, I know at least one of them is my phone automatically downloads it, right? Okay, the last episode called Wild Bunch Film Festival.
Ooh.
Which I don't know. Did we share that?
I don't know. I don't think I've shared it yet.
Okay. Because that dropped like Friday.
Okay.
Let's go to the one before that then.
Okay.
Before I tell you what that number was.
Have we got any more scathing comments?
Well, no, because I hadn't posted a video.
Oh.
So that's why.
Bummer.
Okay. Do we even have time for this?
Yes.
Well, that was the name of the episode.
2 downloads. 3 downloads. 60 downloads.
14 plays. 14 plays.
Yeah.
It was 6 days ago. That was the number I was looking at. 14 plays. Do we even have time for this? The last one that dropped Friday, 6.
The last one. That, okay. The Wild Bunch Film Festival.
So basically, we double when we share it. So we should probably share it.
That, I don't know about you, but...
I was busy this weekend. What were you doing?
I was busy also.
Well...
Not that busy.
Okay.
I'm kind of busy.
Well, if you're one of the 6 to 14 people listening... Thank you so much.
Yeah. Really, there's like 12 because we're the other two.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening, guys.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Okay. So what are we actually talking about today?
I forgot.
I'm all again? Fired up.
I know, but I'm fired up again.
Are you?
I am.
Okay. So this is how episodes usually get planned out. On the day of, I text Joseph. I'm like, so we recording tonight? He's like, oh yeah, absolutely. I'm like, what should we talk about? And he's like, and then if he has an idea, we talk about it.
Right.
So I came up with this episode.
I got it.
You had to check your text for it.
I went back into the text.
There it is.
I saw what it was.
I want to talk about editing.
Yes.
But not how to edit. I want to talk about
what
you actually need. Software, equipment. That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And Joseph's like, okay. Also, we're recording this on October 12th. Yeah. Tomorrow's Amazon Prime Day.
Prime Day.
It's also tomorrow. Apple has a big announcement.
Oh,
they're probably going to announce some computers also using their own silicon, which is like how they like to refer to. We're making our own chips now, but they have to call it silicon.
Okay.
And we're supposed to know that silicon means chips. No. Okay.
Do I need to... No. So?
Anyway, they're pushing out Intel. They're pushing out Intel.
Oh, okay.
That's the big news. They announced the summer that they're going to do it. But we expect tomorrow, which you'll be listening to this after it's happened.
So who are they using? Are they really designing their own chipsets?
They've done it for the iPhone, for the iPad, for years.
The A series is theirs.
Yeah, that's all theirs. Mm-hmm. And their pro line of iPads, they're faster than laptops, period.
Yeah.
But now they're going to make their own chipset and start to put it into their computers.
Cool.
Now they've done a bunch of custom chips already. You know, like when the new Mac series of desktop
I wonder if that
the Pro series of of the desktop computers, they were designing all sorts of custom chips.
Yeah.
But now they're actually going to just kick out Intel and do the processor too.
Cuz the way they've done that has always been very strange. They've just they just keep adding cores, right? They keep adding virtual cores. So that's why when you buy a Mac Pro, you get like 18 to 24 cores, but everything else is like, you know, 6 to 12 or something like that. That's how they always sped up their processors. It's an interesting way that they've done
been
it.
Supplementing it with other things. Like they had to figure out the timing for their, you know, like $5,000-$6,000 display for the computer, right?
Yeah.
So they had to make an extra chip for the timing for it. Mm-hmm. And you know, they made their own graphic card and like, you know, it's based on other people's stuff, but they designed it themselves. Mm-hmm. They produce it themselves. So they only have to pay a little bit of licensing for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'll be interested to see how those, because I had a Pro, a desktop.
We tried to make it work, but it didn't. It didn't want to come back to life.
No, I couldn't save it.
It was a bit like 10 years old by then.
Yeah, I wasn't new when I bought it.
Yeah.
It worked fine for a while.
That was before the trash can. It was the previous model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It still looks cool, and honestly,
it looks cool.
I'd like to probably gut it and put something else in there, just because
it's gonna have the thermals for you know, to handle temps.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the big problem that they had with the new one. Holy smokes, that thing gets hot.
The new one?
Yeah.
The new one, the cheese grater?
Yeah, the cheese grater. Well, that's
it's all about dissipating,
that's
right?
That's why it's designed like that.
Yeah.
They've got it in a triangle so they can blow fans directly through everything because they're using like four processors. It's insane.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Like, I saw something. They were getting up close to 200 degrees, which is like, that's the thermal efficiency of an engine. You know, like that's where they're like, okay, no, everything's starting to separate and get a little bit wide.
Before we get too nerdy, I want to interrupt you for a bit.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, Gerald Undone.
Yes. You do.
I think we stumbled into him and our first impression was like, oh, this guy's just going for it.
Uh-huh.
Like there's no holding back because almost everyone on the internet is like, I'm going to break this down. And Gerald's like, no, I'm going to explain things.
Yeah.
Recently, he tweeted out that just about every single day, someone is telling him he's just too complicated. You got to dumb it down. You got to, you know, stop being so abnormal. And he's like, no.
I've got millions of listeners.
No, it's like, no. Like, his niche is that he's the guy who doesn't break it down. Like, he explains it as it is for people who can understand. And if you don't enjoy it, watch a different channel. Don't make him change because you don't understand it.
That's awesome.
Now, this is me reading between the lines.
Okay.
He was very...
What did the actual tweet say? Do you remember?
He was very polite about it. I could probably pull it
That's
up.
That's fine. It's
but a lot of other YouTubers are like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, they're very supportive.
That's cool.
Because they respect.
Yeah.
He's the guy. And I was listening to someone the other day. They're like, I don't know. Like, when I watch his stuff,
yeah,
I walk away thinking, I don't think I'm prepared enough for these videos. Like, he's set a bar that other people... Anyway, a lot of people are afraid to actually get into the weeds and explain things. I think we're already getting there on this podcast, right?
Are we there?
That we're already like, you're talking about cores and we haven't said CUDA yet, but we're talking about editing today.
Yeah.
And this is not going to be dumbed down. Here's the, okay. For the person I just offended.
For the one person. Sorry.
When I say dumb, I don't mean that you're dumb. I mean, this is the standard term for simplifying things, right?
Sure.
To dumb it down.
Sure.
Right? Okay.
Grab a dictionary if you need
No. The dictionary's not going to explain how technology terms work. No.
Grab the internet.
it takes a while to get there. It takes a while of actually understanding the parts and pieces mm-hmm. of everything involved to really keep up. Okay. We're going to be talking about different software for editing. We're going to be talking about this, the equipment to do it, mm-hmm. and then probably dream out loud a little bit for the equipment we would like to have to do the editing we want to be able to accomplish.
Yes.
It is not a simple conversation. So
it's going to get weird, people.
So we're going to get specific.
It's going to get weird.
All right. Joseph?
Do I get to go first? All right, where's a good place to start here?
Let's talk about software. Yeah, let's start about software. Let's talk about what it takes to do what we want to do, and then we can work up to equipment to actually get it done.
Okay. All right, so software. I personally edit on Adobe, and I have my job pays for it, right? But I have the Adobe suite. So I have everything Adobe, and I know I think that's where you're gravitating towards right now as well, right?
Well, when I can afford it, I mm-hmm. like using Adobe.
Yeah,
but I just took probably the last year and a half off
uh-huh.
because it was
he's been using Resolve.
Yeah, it's been too expensive for me.
Yeah. So now there are other things besides Adobe and Resolve. There is
there's Final Cut.
Final Cut.
Which is just Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I edited on Final Cut years and years and years ago. Back mm-hmm. in its beta stage, right? But I think that's what I legitimately learned
early
to edit
2000s.
On.
Yeah. Early 2000s was the only time I've ever edited on it.
Yeah.
And I was offended by it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be honest. So I'd been editing on Premiere, mm-hmm. right? And Premiere is very complicated.
Yes.
That has never changed.
Mm-hmm.
I go up to film school because I went to a summer film school.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not a summer film school. It was a summer of film school at University of Utah. Anyway, so I get on their mm-hmm. lab because they had a small little lab of computers.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the interface. I'm like, this is for dumb people. Because Apple's...
Final Cut? You're talking
about Apple's,
Final Cut?
Yeah. Because Apple's ethos is, we're going to make it look beautiful, and we're going to make it look simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I was coming from a couple years of editing on Premiere. I'm like, what do you think, I'm stupid? Like, why did you... Where are all the buttons? Anyway, that was my impression at the yeah. time. This was before... this was before everything, right? Yeah. Like, we're talking early 2000s.
Yeah.
There's no streaming video to speak of at this point. Anyway. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So, we've already said, you know, we're not going to dumb it down. But so these are probably the three basic ones, right? There's Final Cut, Final Cut Pro.
There's also Avid.
Premiere. There is... Avid's dying. Who edits on Avid anymore?
Well, professionals.
I know there's some pros out there, but so many of them are switching over to Adobe.
I think the market is moving towards Adobe.
And there's...
But definitely the industry standard...
Is Avid?
Is Avid.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's just... It doesn't have very many tools, though.
But the industry is also opening up to, like, they would color grade on something like Resolve.
Right.
But now that Resolve
is getting really, really popular.
Has become more powerful and yeah. it's free.
Yeah.
It's also, I mean, the full suite is $300.
Yeah, $400, $399.
And if you buy one of their cameras, they'll give it to you for free.
They give it to you for free.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of indie people are using Resolve. Right, because they're buying, Blackmagic Pocket Cinema 4Ks and 6Ks and whatever.
Yeah.
So they're transitioning over to Resolve, and Resolve's really powerful. I don't have a ton of experience on Resolve, but from what I've messed with, I really like.
I love the grading. I'm yeah. starting to learn how to edit audio.
Yeah.
And my computer refuses to work Fusion.
Yeah.
So like no titles, no graphics. To speak of.
I actually really like Final Cut because it is a dumb man's editor. You know, everything you want to do, you can do in there. It doesn't It doesn't do it all quite as well as some of the other things, but it is super user friendly.
We're saying our actual opinions. You can have your own opinions. That's fine.
Well, it's easy and it works. Okay. I love Premiere, right? I just wish it wouldn't break every other week.
And that is definitely what a lot of people say.
Right.
Is like, I wish I could trust it.
Well, there's just so many things, and I do a lot of stuff, right? I do a lot of motion graphics, and I do a lot of stabilizations, and I do a lot of, you know, I just do lots of, I have a job that allows me to experiment with lots of different things, and and that's just, like, I'm super eclectic, right? I can't focus on just one thing at a time. I'll start doing this, I'm like, oh, I want to make a flip book today, and then tomorrow I want to make this, and then I combine the two together. Well, how do I do a parallax? See, this is just the dumb things that I do. So I'm constantly like, okay, Adobe, what do you got for me now? Oh, can we animate? Yes, let's do that. Oh, yes, let's do that. How do we pull this over into here? So I get to do this for my job, right? And I absolutely love it. But every now and then, I can't write text. Why won't Adobe let me write text? Why is it not letting me do this? Why is it not letting me do that? Is it something I did? Backtrack, uninstall, reinstall, get with Adobe. And it's always, you know, and they have really good customer service. Adobe has great customer service, especially when you have the full suite.
And I think they, as a business model, and everything's based off a subscription,
yes,
you have to, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise they're like, well, fine, I won't use you. Yeah. And then there goes the money.
Yeah.
But if you can keep people happy, they stay.
And in all honesty, you pay a lot for that.
Oh, yeah.
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 You're not...
I mean, the average person, not like a business because they have different rates or whatever.
Right.
Just a freelancer is going to pay $50 a month for the suite. And after 6 months, you've paid for Resolve.
Yeah.
I got to double check. I think it's 300, not 400. But
I thought it was 300.
It's been a while since I've checked. So you talk while I look that up.
And anyway, so you do have that aspect from Adobe, right? And it's great. The customer service is pretty good. Honestly, sometimes I feel like they screw things up when they come in, like when they get on and fix it. And sometimes they know exactly what it is and they, you know, they can give you instructions on how to fix it yourself. My issue is my computer is not owned by me and there's a third party. I can't download anything. I can't do anything on my own without having them come in. So when they do come in to fix something that has, you know, gone awry.
$299.
Is it $299 with everything?
Yeah, nice. That's Studio, which is their paid version. Nice.
So, but when they do come in, they can't see everything, right? So there's not a lot that they can do on the computer, and they can't make changes. So, I'm really left to going in and finding like little bits of codec and pulling them out so that they work or switching things over. It's really frustrating. I imagine it's easier for someone not in my situation. But the other thing is I don't understand why it doesn't, and I know they're constantly updating their stuff.
They try to have two major updates a year.
Yeah. And it's nice because that seems like Premiere is what they stay on top of the most, right? Sometimes they seem to neglect After Effects a little bit more because After Effects is already so powerful and it has essentially everything that they can do.
And over the last several years, they've been taking everything from the other programs and stuffing it into Premiere.
Right. And Premiere does a lot of things just as well as After Effects, you know, and sometimes in some instances even easier, right? Because After Effects is
I think simpler for sure.
Yeah, because if you want to do a tracking in After Effects, right, it'll track it quite well the first time, right? But if you've got multiple cuts, it doesn't really like to do that. Or if you're working with multiple layers, you got to go and look at every single layer, right? Okay, well, where's this? Where's this? Where's this? And then you have to go and move, you know, your point or whatever. With Premiere, it tracks it. Might not track it as well as After Effects, but it's easy to get in there and make it look okay. You know, you're like, oh, that's fine for a YouTube video. Click it, send it. I'm done. Right, my job is done. I'm constantly trying to learn, you know, each program and be as good at it as I can be. Yeah, like Room Classic, right? They have that still around, but they have this new Lightroom. It's like Lightroom CC, which...
That's my sound of disdain.
Is it? So I immediately downloaded it, and I'm like, ooh, new Lightroom, right? I really don't like it.
I don't want to use the term, but I'm going to use it. Lightroom for dummies.
Yeah. And I actually... Okay, so I didn't like it. I still don't really like
it. I'm not saying you're dumb. Yeah. I'm ruining this podcast. It's not designed for people who already know how to edit.
Yes.
Using Lightroom. It's designed for someone that doesn't know how. Yeah.
Now, all of the color tools are still there, right? The color stuff works just as well. Now, they remove about 80% of the options that you have to mess with things and manipulate.
My biggest frustration, it's not designed for bulk editing.
No.
Which is what I do.
Yeah.
So it's almost useless to me.
Yeah, it's one picture at a time. Now, you can go through and like there certain features on it work better than I think Lightroom Classic. Like if you're an HDR photographer, it's a lot simpler on the CC. I think that's what it's called. I think I'm getting that right.
I think you're right.
I mean, the commands and everything are exactly the same, but you can't go through and batch edit, you know, like you can in Classic.
Which is what I do. Yeah. And I'm sure there's a ton of people out there. If you go do a shoot, mm-hmm. and all your lighting is the same.
Yeah.
All I have to do, theoretically.
You get your good color balance, your white balance, and you just want to apply that to everything.
You do one, you apply it to everything, mm-hmm. then you tweak as needed, right? Yeah. You save yourself so much time.
Yeah. CC doesn't do that.
You have to take your settings and apply it to one at a time, and it's just a waste of time.
Yeah. And the other frustrating thing, and I just mentioned this a minute ago, they take away like 90% of the tools, right? Like, there's so many of the tools that I want to be able to use. Like, I want to be able to whiten teeth. You can't do that there, right? Or you want to... And so what happened was I was using it as like, okay. And I hadn't edited photos in a while, so it was a kind of a good stepping stone for me to get back into it. But since then, I've switched everything over to Classic, right? Because it just makes more sense.
It's what I learned on, you know, and I get that. I'll be honest. Yeah. Like, I get it, but I would use the new one mm-hmm. if I could batch edit easier. And I think since I've stopped using it and I just got everything back again, because work's paying for it mm-hmm. now. We'll see, but they did put Classic on there for me.
Yeah. Classic's there.
So I don't know that I'm even going to look
at. When I first got it.
It's I do use the CC version mm-hmm. on my phone.
Yeah.
Because I'm only editing one picture at a time and it's fine.
Mm-hmm. When I first got it, I thought this was the new Lightroom and I was so frustrated. Like I had a conniption, a small one, right? Mm-hmm. And then I learned about Lightroom Classic and I'm like, oh, okay. I'm fine. I'm going to stick with this one for a little while, see how it does. Right?
You go do your thing. I'm going to go to the one that I can actually get work done on.
About a month later. And honestly, the Lightroom Classic is so different from the Lightroom that I've used before. Lightroom 5 or 4, I think, is where I got stuck, right?
Yeah.
And I used it for a long time and it worked fine. I mean, honestly, when I first started editing photos, it was in Photoshop. Like, color corrected.
I've never really learned Photoshop.
What?
I feel I'm above average in Lightroom.
Mm-hmm.
I am probably intermediate level in Illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people disagree with me and that's fine. I use it comfortably. I wish I was better.
Yeah.
Definitely not pro level for Illustrator. I'm pretty darn good at InDesign. And I can get everything done that I want to in Premiere.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like a baby when I open up Photoshop.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know.
Photoshop is, there's layers you have to mess with. And I need to get better at it. Because it's super powerful. It is incredibly powerful.
So powerful.
But I find doing everything that I want to do, I can do it a little bit quicker in After Effects.
I don't do a lot of compositing because mm-hmm. I just never learned how.
Yeah.
So 100% of my picture editing I do in Lightroom, because if you're not compositing, it just makes more sense to do it there anyway.
Yeah.
And it, well, and it's so much easier.
Yet it, because it's designed for that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's not destructive.
But yeah, it's not destructive. Well, and Photoshop, I need to get better at it. I just do.
Someday I'll learn it.
And it's
someday.
But it's another one of those things that it's like, okay, well, I need to just sit down and take the time and learn it. And then of course I learn a few things here and then I learn a few things there and then I forget everything else that I learned and I have to go back. So it's a constant learning and a challenging process for me, right?
Yeah.
Which I enjoy.
This is not exactly what we set out to talk about, but. Yeah.
But anyway, so there's Premiere.
I think Premiere, which is what you also see in Resolve. Resolve is doing two things right here. Okay, Resolve is owned by Blackmagic Design.
Yep.
We're not going to get into the full history of Blackmagic, but Blackmagic has been very successful over the past, let's say, 5 years.
Mm-hmm. 5 to 8 years.
They have, yeah, 5 to 8. They've gone out and they've made some acquisitions. One was a company called Fairlight, which was audio editing. Mm-hmm. They took Fairlight and then they stuffed it inside of Resolve. They've been incredibly successful with their hardware. The breakout hit was the Pocket 4K. Mm-hmm. People are still using it. I would still like one. Maybe someday. Right. But they've done some very powerful things and they made their incredibly powerful software, except for some features like noise reduction and whatever. They made it free.
Yeah.
So like we're editing a feature length movie
in the free version
with almost no limitations in the free version.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I may take it into Adobe to do some noise reduction at the end just to polish, but the movie will be done at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you see both Premiere and I can't speak to Final Cut cause I haven't been using it. Mm-hmm. You see both in Premiere and in Resolve that they're trying to adapt to the super fast turnaround that a YouTube editor needs.
Yeah.
And that there's some great tools in Premiere, especially with the motion graphics over the last several years.
Yeah.
That just make it super fast to put out a very good product really quickly.
Yeah.
Since I've been editing in Resolve for the past probably 18 months exclusively, I love it.
Yeah.
But I still want to use the hotkeys from Premiere.
Yeah.
Every single time I have to catch myself. And I, because I.
That muscle memory.
The zooming in and out on the timeline.
Uh huh.
There's some things in Premiere that just I really, really like.
They work really well.
Yeah. Okay. So, Perfect World. Which editing program would you use? No limitations. Which one?
No limitations. I'd probably stick with Adobe as I have it now. Because I don't think... I'll never, as an editor or compositor or sound designer, ever outgrow that as a tool. Now, because...
I think that's fair to say.
Number one, because they're always updating. Mm-hmm. Number two, because I don't have... There's not enough time in my lifetime to focus on one of those things. Like if I was just a sound guy, it'd be different,
yeah,
right? And so I'm never going to excel at any one of those things. Like I might be slightly more naturally talented at sound.
Masters of none.
Yeah. I might be slightly more I might be slightly more naturally talented at sound, but I'm never going to be as good a sound designer as I could be because I don't just do sound all the time, right? Like my typical day consists of going out, doing photography, you know, then bringing it in and then bringing the sound in from a few days ago and then clipping those two things together and making it sound okay. So as an editor myself, Adobe works for me. If I had to have a second choice, it would probably be Final Cut.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's simple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to have a ton of technical knowledge, and I know it's going to work all the time. That's my biggest frustration with Adobe. Like I wish Adobe worked as well as Final Cut did all the time, right? Now I haven't edited in Final Cut in a long, long time, but I don't remember ever having any issues with it.
I think that's a very good point.
Yeah. if I had all the tools that I had in Adobe and it worked just as well as Final Cut, but then, you know, that's kind of the difference between having a Windows phone or an Apple phone. You know, you want the Windows phone to work just as well as the Apple phone or the Android or something like that. It just doesn't necessarily work that way.
Yeah, and I was having this conversation earlier today, you know, because Apple can control every step in the process.
Yeah.
They
have very few third parties.
Of their apps, especially the ones that they make, mm-hmm. they're designed to work perfectly.
Yeah.
Because there's only a few different scenarios that they have to meet.
Right.
Whereas, you know, Adobe, which is making it for every desktop in the universe.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work to do there. I think you're right. If there were no limitations, you know, we don't have to worry about the reality of us having to actually pay for something. I would definitely take a good stab at Final Cut.
Yeah.
For sure. I love the suite, the Creative Cloud suite. Mm-hmm. I love all the different tools.
Yeah.
And I use a lot of them.
Yeah. Every time I think I've kind of found my niche with a few tools, I find more. And I'm like, whoa, I can layer this on top of that. That's cool.
Yeah, if I could figure out Fusion mm-hmm. on Resolve, and if it cut a little bit better, I think I might be perfectly content staying with Resolve, because it's getting very good mm-hmm. as one program, as opposed to the Creative Cloud Suite. They work together, but you're bouncing between programs and you have to have these links between them mm-hmm. and whatever, but it is literally a different tab on the same program in Resolve.
Right.
And that is very convenient.
Yeah. May not be quite as powerful, but at least you don't have to jump over and junk up your computer. You know, if you're only working with like 16 gigabytes of RAM and you're running, say you're running After Effects, Premiere, and, you know, Photoshop.
There's no room. You have to shut something down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it just starts to like, ugh.
And we say only 16, right?
Yeah.
That's a very specific computer already.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably didn't come off the shelf. You probably had to customize something.
So that's a good time to jump into hardware.
Should we talk into hardware?
So let's get into hardware.
Okay. Let's answer the big question first. The easy. No, it's not easy. All right. Apple or PC for editing?
Dang it.
It's a horrible question because it's not fair. Go ahead.
I've spent more time editing on a PC.
Mm-hmm.
On an Apple, I don't know. I recognize that Apple typically works better. What I want is a PC that doesn't break.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want a PC that works like an Apple.
I mean, I know Apple fanboys, and honestly, we have iPhones, we have iPads, we have Apple Watches. Like, that probably seems relevant. Mm-hmm. When you look at specs, there's no comparison in the price for what you can get for a PC compared to what you get for an Apple product.
Right.
You pay a lot for the Apple on that computer.
Yeah.
That being said...
With the same hardware.
It's like if money wasn't an issue, mm-hmm. I'd probably go Apple mm-hmm. for sure.
I like the functionality of PCs more. And I don't want to come off as like an Apple fanboy or a PC fanboy. I'll use both equally, right?
I use both.
Yeah.
Because I have a laptop for work.
An Apple.
I have a Mac Pro. Mm-hmm. MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
8 gig of RAM.
Mm-hmm.
A model a couple years old.
Yeah.
And it's fine for everyday use. It's not a... You know what the hardest thing for editing is? Hmm. They got rid of all the ports.
Oh, yeah. They've got like one Lightning port now.
So for me to work off an external drive, because they don't even have an SD card slot, right? Everything has to be on a dongle.
Yeah.
I was trying to edit off of an SSD for one video, and it was having trouble like powering the drive to work. And so it was a complete mess because I have to work through this whole dongle system. That's not convenient.
Yeah. Is it a Lightning cable or is it a USB-C?
It's USB-C.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Type-C.
Because the Type-C is a fat... I don't even...
Type-C is great.
Yeah.
Type-C is great. But if what's on the other end is not also Type-C,
yeah,
you have to use a dongle.
See, I don't even everything. Understand how they're able to get... I build a lot of cords for a living. Or I used to. When I was a mechanic, I built... hydraulic electric interfaces, right? Mm-hmm. I don't even know how they get that much information through that. They're sending a lot of juice through a USB-C.
Yeah.
In a really small package. My only guess is that they're using a higher quality copper, which concerns me because now that USB-C is becoming more popular...
Incredibly popular.
You're going to see a lot of inferior wiring.
They use the same name.
Yeah. Which is like frustrating because you're going to have some that are capable of these really quick, of these really fast speeds and some that just aren't, you know, or they will be, but for a very short amount of time, you know, you'll get a year out of it. But of course, if you're only going to pay $250 for a cord and it breaks in a year, you're just going to buy another one, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to buying a really good one that costs $10. You know, still overpriced for cable, but that's right. Just like you pay a lot for wires and it shouldn't cost that much. People shouldn't.
Sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
I work in the mining industry. I know this.
So if I just had a blank check.
You get whatever system you
want. I would just spec out that the Mac Pro whatever with all the things.
That would be dope.
I would just spec it out. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it can go up to like a $50,000 machine. Something insane, right? Sure. Do I want to get the fancy wheels? I'll get the fancy wheels.
Yeah.
Why not? Because money's not an object. We each get one, right?
$100,000 in computer.
But if I have to, in the real world, actually have to build my own computer. There's no question.
It's going to be a PC.
It's going to be a PC.
Yeah.
So, Joseph, let's build what we actually need. Yeah. Well, let's build something that's within reach.
Okay.
Something within reach to get us through the next 5 years of editing.
See, I've been doing this for a little while in my head.
So I'm really... Let's have the conversation.
Because my wife has a great PC. It's a Lenovo, which is a brand I've had really good luck with in the past. So I guess I'm a Lenovo fan. I haven't had great luck with HPs or Dells.
Which is what my wife has.
Yeah.
Well, not Dell.
Yeah.
I have a story about Dell.
I haven't had great luck with Dells. They're a pain. But so she has... a computer, right, that I spec'd out a few years ago now. I'm thinking I need to upgrade the CPU. I need to upgrade the Wi-Fi card. I need to stuff it full of memory. I need to stuff it with a bunch of RAM. And it's got like 6 PCI slots, like, and it can take up to 30 terabytes or something like that with the current motherboard that it has in it. Which is the Lenovo H2 something, whatever. It's Lenovo's workhorse, right? It's like comparable to the MSI boards.
I have an MSI board.
Yeah. You know, it's just a slightly more industrial build. So what do I need? I need a scratch disk, a very fast one, right? I need like a terabyte of scratch. It's amazing how fast I take up scratch.
If you're using Adobe, it also fills up with a bunch of garbage that you have to...
Yeah, you have to clear it out every now and then.
You have to clear it out.
I currently am working off of a solid state 110 gigabyte scratch. I probably have to clear it out once a month.
Yeah.
That's
my scratch is 250.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not enough.
Yeah. Now, at the risk of not dumbing it down, right? The scratch drive is where you keep a lot of your cache files, for those that don't know.
Which is, what's cache? it's the temporary stuff.
All the things that you've done to the footage, right? Or all the things. Let's take a photo, for example, right? We talked about Adobe being a non-destructive, right? So you take that picture into Adobe.
Lightroom.
Lightroom. You take that picture into Lightroom, and then you start adding all these things. You color correct it, right? And then maybe you add some filters on, and maybe you change some colors. And every time you do this, Lightroom layers it on top, right? So you've built this large stack of layers on top of the picture, but the original picture is still there, right? So all of these layers and all of these commands that you've given, literally every keystroke, everything you tapped on, everywhere you moved your mouse, gets sent to the cache, yeah. Right?
Yes. And it's working off of a proxy.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is how you edit the photos, right? This is, it's so... Now what Lightroom has done, it's got your raw photo file, it's got everything you did to it, and then it's got like your final photo file, which you export whenever you're done.
Yes, which doesn't exist until you export.
Right.
Because it's got a proxy, but if you lose track of the original, it won't work anymore because right. it hasn't been editing the original. It's just giving you a preview. Yeah. Hence it's filling up cache.
And it's so dumb because like you move it. Seriously, like you move it anywhere else and it can't find it and you have to go find it on your own.
You have to resync it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really frustrating.
That is the Adobe way.
It is the Adobe way.
Which is a real mess when it comes to Premiere and you're working with lots of big files.
Yeah, and lots of big proxies, but I think we'll get to that eventually.
Oh, proxies.
So that's how editing a photo works, right? Or and this is true for everything else. This is true for how you edit video, it's just how it works. Mm-hmm. So that cache can get filled up really quickly with all of these things that you did to it. That's what I need.
Which fills up. Okay. The more full a drive is, the mm-hmm. slower it's going to, well, okay. If it's solid state, it's a little bit different.
Quicker. Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's a hard drive, the more full it is, the slower the drive operates as well.
Right, because it has to actually slide the magnet across and read because the drive's actually spinning. And it has to slide across and find exactly where everything is. Whereas with a solid state, it's easily accessible. And when we get to crystallic drives, which I think we're close to maybe. I don't know. We were close like 10 years ago, which is probably not going to happen. I need something with I need a big scratch, right? I need a big drive,
which is for footage. Where you're working. Just your footage, and you're working off of. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I need
temporarily.
I need a big drive. I need at least. I mean, especially if we start shooting raw files, which oh my goodness, raw files take up so much space.
So, raw files are basically. It's unedited pictures in a container. Mm. So, it actually Blackmagic. They're not as big as you would think mm-hmm. because they've designed the entire process and their editing software is really good at accessing it. So like when they modeled off the new 12K camera, they were showing probably a bit of a specced out, a Mac laptop able to edit 9 tracks
of raw
12 raw 12K footage.
Wow.
Well, sorry. The laptop was able to do it, but their desktop computer did 9 tracks of 12K.
Wow.
And it was fine.
That's awesome.
And it was running off of just an SSD.
Huh.
Like the ones we shoot
did
on.
Did they say how much RAM it had?
They didn't explain, but I don't know, 32.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw that number out there, probably 32. But and you know, Blackmagic also makes their own graphics card mm-hmm. accelerator.
Yeah.
It's like $600. Which
is supposed to have a good sound card built in too.
I don't know. Anyway,
that's pretty pricey for a card,
but the computer has to be able to handle the footage.
Yeah.
When you're talking about raw versus, you know, a compressed file, mm-hmm. it's what the camera does to prepare the picture or the video files to be viewed.
Mm-hmm.
So JPEG, for example, JPEG is a compressed, prepared picture for whatever, right? Like if you're taking a picture on your phone, it's going to be a form of a JPEG, right? If you're taking a video, it's going to be a form of, you know, a number of different video formats. RAW is basically unedited pictures put in a container with the notation for the device that this is video and these should be viewed, you know, right. sequentially. Mm-hmm. So when you put that into a program that knows how to access that, you have a whole lot of capability to change it.
Yeah.
You can change essentially camera settings after it's been recorded.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's capable of, right?
Because you've got now, like 32 photos of one frame.
But because they don't have to undo a compression to access it, in some ways, if it's been prepared right, which is what Blackmagic has been working on, it's just looking at unedited picture data.
Yeah.
So it can actually play it back okay. But almost every other codec, you know, Canons, Reds. You know, different whatever's right. Red works really well, too.
Reds is big.
Red is going to work, I think, similar in theory to what Blackmagic is doing.
Mm-hmm.
In that because it's just completely uncompressed, there's a lot you can mess around with, and it just knows how to play that footage back when you download the right drivers or whatever.
Right.
So, like, you may not need as much computer as you think, but...
We've never edited Red.
No, we've never. I need to mess around with that.
That would be great.
I've downloaded a little bit of. Yes. Yeah, exactly. I need to mess around with
that. You can bring them into Premiere and play with them if you want, but.
Yeah.
Just haven't done it.
I should play with it for when we get a Red. yeah. He's laughing because I don't know why. Anyway, like, what kind of footage you're actually shooting and just how. Big and thick with two C's. That's what that's the thing right now, right?
Yeah,
two C's.
Two C's.
it's going to determine how much computer you need to be able to handle that.
Right.
And that's going to be a combination of a processor in the computer. And maybe if you, depending on the software, if you can offload that to a graphics card to take on that load, mm-hmm. you know, how much can that handle? Right. Okay. Now we can talk about
RAM.
RAM is how much you can think about at the same time.
Right.
Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, it's a good way to put it.
It's like the capacity how much you can think.
Yeah, how much the computer can think about at one time.
And you're going to hear RAM for both computing and also graphics processing.
Yeah. So when you layer the two on top of each other, a graphics processor with a lot of RAM is just going to make it easier for you to do motion graphics, and it's going to make it easier for you to do a lot of things.
So if you're doing a lot of layers in your video, you're grading footage, you have a lot of different things,
yeah.
The graphics card is really great. It's also really beneficial when it comes to rendering it out. If you could just send that over to the graphics processor and it can just spit that thing out, that's fantastic.
Yeah, really speeds things up. Now, that's what I'm lusting after right now is a 4K graphics card. I am so tired of editing by proxy. And, yeah. Okay, now I know you could say, well, stop shooting 4K, right?
So proxy is you make a smaller version of the file. Mm-hmm. You edit that. The computer knows that. Everything is still synced with the original, just like you did with editing the pictures. Mm-hmm. And when you render it out, it doesn't render from the proxy. It renders from the original.
Renders from the original.
Man, we are nerdy tonight. This is fantastic.
It takes a lot longer. But here's the thing. Premiere doesn't always grab everything and do the proxies when I want it to, right? Because sometimes I'll just pull in files. Now I know you could say, well, then just shoot in 1080p, right? It's easier. It's faster. There's so many more options when you shoot in 4K. You can stabilize much easier.
Because it crops in a little bit and uses that extra space to stabilize. Yeah.
You can stabilize so much easier. The image is a little bit crisper and clearer. You get a little bit more. You get more information to work with in the post edit, right? I mean, obviously, I'm not talking about shooting 4K versus shooting 4K raw. It's two different things.
Right, because that just has to do with color and exposure.
Yeah. There's just so many other... Like, it opens
that doesn't
up
change your pixels.
A vast array of opportunities, but it eats up a ton of memory.
Yes.
On my rig, currently, I can't edit it without using proxies, which is hyper-frustrating because I lose so much clarity. Right, and then when I try to render it out to see what if, see, so what? Well, what ends up happening is I end up editing my footage, rendering it out. My computer can't even play it at 4K, right? Because I don't have, well, first of all, I don't have 4K screens. I don't have 4K HDMI cables. And I don't have a processor. I don't have a graphics card that can handle 4K anyway. So it comes out hyper choppy.
I do.
Oh, you jerk.
Sorry.
So what I end up doing is I end up taking it, uploading it to YouTube as a private, bringing it back, watching it in 1080p.
That's a weird workflow.
It's so dumb, but I don't know a better way to do it.
Yeah. I'm lucky. I have access to a 4K monitor, which a friend has lent to me. I did, when I bought my editing rig, mm-hmm. I just bought a gaming computer, so it can handle 4K.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to editing, I still max that thing out.
Yeah.
How much
RAM do you have? Are you running right now?
So I need to add more to this. I have 16.
Okay.
16, and then my graphics processor has 4.
Okay. I thought it was a 2 gig.
It could handle more, mm-hmm. for sure, right? Like I've got two more RAM slots,
mm-hmm.
so I could replace what I have, and I could take it up to 64, I think, total. With 232 cards. Mm-hmm. No? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it goes up to 64. If I just bought two, you know, I could get it to like 40 or something, whatever. Yeah. Whatever the math is. I haven't done that yet. I did max out, I think I'm probably an 8th gen i7, but it was the maxed out version of it. It was the top of the line. You know, this is before they came out with i9, which is now a thing.
Have you overclocked it?
I haven't messed with settings at all.
So you're still
all.
Running like the 3.3 hertz or whatever.
It's 3, in my heart, it might be higher than that. 3, I don't know, 3.8 maybe? Yeah. I don't know. But like I haven't gone through and said, you know, just ignore that and just overclock. Yeah, no, yeah. I haven't tried to overclock it.
Yeah.
But what I have to do in Resolve... sometimes I just turn off the grade if I want to see it, but there's two settings that are like short of an actual proxy. You can do proxies. I don't have the patience to actually create the proxy and render that out to edit from.
How does Resolve create proxies?
I haven't looked into that. 'Cause what I do is you can just show a quarter or a half resolution.
Yeah.
So that's what I usually do is I just drop it down to a quarter so I can get pacing for the edit.
Yeah.
And also best case scenario, I'm working off of like ProRes, which edits really well.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always record in ProRes, but when we record to the Atomos, you know, we usually record, 10-bit 4K, HQ, which is going to be the highest that our Atomos can handle, which is a lot of data, but it edits so much better than when we're recording internally and we're trying to get, you know, log 8-bit, whatever. Like it, that ProRes is a huge
into a gig.
Yeah, but working off of ProRes is so much easier to edit, which is nice because we'd never worked with ProRes before the Atomos. So like, you know, we're a couple years into that. And there's some times that I'm shooting things that I cannot actually see the pacing because it's just too much.
It's too choppy.
But for the most part, I've been able to handle it. If I get to, because Premiere is a layer-based system and Resolve is a node-based system. When I have maybe 5-6 nodes, that's when it starts getting a little slower.
Mm-hmm.
Like I created a night grade for some of our footage that it just
looks weird.
It just well, when we tried to put night on what wasn't night, that's when it looked weird. But it looks fantastic when it was actually evening. Like that looked really good. Like your scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was messing with that, I had to be really careful. I kept crashing the program. I have to keep reloading. So like there's been some goofy things I've had to deal with. I'm on the edge. The computer, it'd be nice if I was looking at processors today. So mine is about $150 graphics card.
Okay. Which is fairly that's a pretty cheap graphics card.
It's entry level. Entry level. I probably need to jump up to like 300 or, you know, looking at $1,000 card. That looked nice. But, I mean, in the future, it'd be nice to have, 6 or 8 gig mm-hmm. of RAM for the video. And of course, you know, jump up to 32 or 64
yeah.
for my processor. And then of course, you know, good scratch, mm-hmm. like we talked about. Yeah. And then lots yeah. of storage.
Lots of storage. I
multiple monitors.
I need to, yeah. Right now I edit on 2 monitors, but I really want a third that's 4K.
Oh, you know what? Eventually we need to get to.
What's that?
To actually like color balance the monitors.
Yes.
And I was looking at a $200 pack just today. It's normally $400.
I have a monitor in mind that there's a, yeah, it's like $600. But it's a widescreen.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Is it 4K?
Mm-hmm. It's no, it's not 4K, it's IP.
Is it like 1440?
It's that whatever that's, it's like not quite 6K.
Oh.
Whatever that in
tell me more.
Whatever that in between is, right? I mean, it's comparable to 4K, but because it's a widescreen.
Oh.
It's not quite. Okay. Yeah.
Does that mean, okay.
I can't remember what it's like IPA or something. No, that's a beer. IPS, I don't remember what it's called, but anyway, it's big. It's bigger than 4K. It'll handle 4K. Yeah. And it has 4K inputs for it and everything. And then you know, you get a color balancing system for it. So that's what I want for above, and then I can have my soundtracks below.
Yeah.
And so then my footage over here on the left.
Yes.
And then I can have my actual my actual timeline here. that's my dream.
So I have one 4K screen.
Yeah.
Which is a refurb. There's one slight discoloration towards at the top in the middle. You've probably seen it.
Yeah.
No. And then I have one regular monitor. It's a, you know, 1080p off to the left. And they don't match each other in color.
Yeah, no, that is so frustrating.
And my 4K monitor is oversaturated, mm-hmm. which throws off all my grades.
Right.
So it's really hard to see. Like, I was making fun of your weird workflow of, like, sending it up to YouTube and looking at it. Because everyone knows YouTube does weird things.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's what I shoot for.
But I also do that, too. But I also, that's how I double check it. Yeah. Right?
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I know there's better ways, but it's what works.
Yeah. So
it takes up days.
And I don't know. Like, what would a, like, if we were starting from scratch, are we looking at like a $2,000-$3,000 rig?
No.
For what we actually want?
6.
Oof.
Maybe 7.
Really?
Well, okay.
So are we spending like $2,000 on the graphics card? Is that what we're saying?
Well, no. We're definitely got probably at least $1,500 just in storage space.
Okay, storage gets expensive fast.
Fast storage space.
Really big SSDs.
Now, obviously, if we're building a dream rig,
rig.
I'm going to get the best of the best MSI cards, motherboards, right? Yeah. I'm going to throw that $800 GPU on it, you know, the CPU on it, which is the...
Is that an i9? What is that?
800? It's an i9, but it's like 4.3 hertz. It's really fast.
Okay.
It's really fast. Yeah. And the cooling fan on it is like, they recommend water cooling.
Yeah. I have water cooling in mine. It just came with it. Yeah. So.
Which I would love to do, and I would... I'm getting off track, but back in college, my friends and I, we built a big gaming computer that we could game on. Yeah, right. Yeah. And we all went in together. This thing cost like $6,000 at the time. Right. But it also was set up with multiple motherboards. You know, it was a monstrosity, and it didn't always work very well. Right.
It
was a Frankenstein computer, right? Yeah. Anyway, but what we did
Frankenstein.
My name is Frankenstein. Okay. But, and this was like something stupid that I came up with, because I worked at a pumping factory at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. I got this little pump, and I pumped it up through the cooling fan, and we mounted that to the wall, and we put LED lights on it. It just looked really cool, right?
This was before everyone was doing LEDs, right?
Oh, yeah. No, this was like...
Like, because...
LEDs were expensive. Like,
yeah, this was before that.
I had to throw this into the budget, right, to...
I've got a couple lights in mind. They just came that way. So.
But I built these LEDs, and I built this pump, which was massively oversized for it, right? Massively oversized, but it kept it cool. It kept it extremely cool. And then it had little fans on it, but essentially it was this Frankenstein computer that was built essentially all over the room, right? The motherboard was over here and mounted inside the case. And then over here was this thing mounted to the wall, and it was the water cooling, which I put a pump that was like meant for wells on it and then just turned the voltage way, way down. And it was a fun little rig. But you know what? It stayed cool. And I had to reinforce all the piping ends because
that's fantastic.
It was a really fun project.
So if we had built our own, a really good MSI board,
yeah,
just a top of the line NVIDIA something or other,
an NVIDIA card or probably NVIDIA. I've had good luck with NVIDIA.
Yeah. I mean, I've got one right now. I've got the entry level, like 1050 Ti.
Mm-hmm. The thing I don't like about NVIDIA is they don't update their drivers as often as some other people.
Yeah, but the one good thing is that it does a good job of handling the rendering within Premiere.
Yeah.
Among other things, yeah.
It doesn't always play well with After Effects. My card doesn't.
No?
I have to mess with it a lot sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, anytime I go through and update Premiere, it doesn't like my graphics card. Or it doesn't like my sound card or something like that. But... And I always have to mess with it. I always have to get either a new driver or something. And then I think it would be really worth it to, I mean, if we're building the dream rig. Why not?
I love that.
Of course, if we're building the dream rig, I'd go with you. I'd probably build a Mac. I would build the $32,000.